with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show, 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning and welcome to The Gardening Show. And Master Gardener Bob Harris is across the desk from me. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Igor.
And we are taking your phone calls, of course, as always. If you have any questions for Bob, it's 814-368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. Take it away, Bob.
All right. One of the first things that comes to my mind here, what us gardeners should be thinking about, because winter's coming, one thing we should think about is protection from deer, because we do live in an area with a high deer population. And if we get a certain kind of winter, they will come into our yards to feed on our shrubbery. So we may have to do some protection. And there's a lot of different ways to do it.
When you said a certain kind of winter, what does that mean?
Oh,
what kind of winter?
So if we get a winter with a lot of snow that really puts a big cover out in the woods, makes it difficult for them to find their food, then they start coming into our yards to find it.
Okay.
A few things to consider is there's several different ways to protect from deer, especially the shrubbery that they prefer. Now, there are shrubs that they do not prefer or even stay away from. But there's always that exception to the rule. You know, one of the more popular ones is a boxwood. Deer really despise it. Until
they're desperate enough to not despise.
Desperate enough or young enough that they don't know any better.
Mm.
Boxwood usually gives off an ammonia smell. So it reminds deer of a cat. Bobcat, mountain lion, whatever. So they do stay away from it. And now there's several other plants like that too, but the boxwood is one of the most well known. But they have been known to feed on boxwood. That deer that if they get desperate enough, or they just haven't learned all of life's lessons yet, then they will break the rules. So one of the best ways I think for deer protection is the bird netting or deer netting. It's a netting that you just place over the shrub. Most of the time you don't even have to attach it in any way, but it does pay to take a few of those bread twist ties and attach it on there so it can't blow off, or if an animal does get stuck in it, that they can't pull it off. So that's probably my most suggested way of protecting a shrub or a tree and that's only the young trees. You know, big trees you're not going to need to protect, but I'm going to talk about young trees too. So that's probably the best way. Now there are you can put up a regular wire fence too around an area that can help keep the deer out. But remember, deer can jump quite a distance high.
I've seen it from a standstill too.
Yeah,
they can jump like six, 8 feet.
Yeah, they can,
easy.
Yeah. But you know, I've learned through experience that they'll only jump a fence if there is a landing area on the other side of the fence. So it normally, if your fence is up real close to the shrubbery, that sends a sign to that deer that if I jump, I'm going to land in the shrub and I may get injured. So they don't jump if the fence is close to that shrubbery. If you've got it back 4 or 5 feet and they see solid ground there, then yeah, they'll probably jump it and then start feeding and then jump back out. So keep that in mind. But again, the deer netting or bird netting is probably going to be the one I would recommend. And then there are also different sprays that you can put on your shrubbery to keep the deer away. And most of them have a rotten egg smell. Now, it's not going to be real noticeable to you, but to them, they have a more sensitive nose. They're going to notice it. So you can spray that on. But also remember, because it is a chance that we have a lot of rains rather than snows in the winter, and the rains will wash it off, so you have to reapply. And it can be difficult to reapply because you can't really reapply when it's freezing temperatures. It's got to be above freezing. So keep that one in mind too, the sprays. I've used them in the past and been happy with them. My theory is I quit doing any protection on any of my plants in my backyard because I enjoy feeding the deer. And this goes back to a long time ago, a seminar I went to on protecting plants from animals. This was a nut grower and trying to protect his plants from squirrels. That if you feed the animal, especially deer, they probably will leave your shrubbery alone if you give them enough food. You don't put out one apple. You know, you got to put out a half a bushel of apples. Or I like to use cracked corn. So I have normally four deer that come into my yard through the winter all the time. So I use a gallon of cracked corn. That seems to satisfy them. They come in, they eat the cracked corn, and they leave. Once in a while, yeah, they may stop and nibble on a rhododendron or something. But they really don't do a whole lot of damage. So that's my theory. You can do it either way. And I know you're not supposed to feed the deer during deer season. So I do stop during that time. But after that, then I start putting that cracked corn out. And I get to enjoy watching the deer. My wife does too. And they leave my shrubbery alone. But there are other animals we got to protect from. Rabbits would be one. Woodchucks, they like to nibble on the bark. And of course, that can eventually kill a tree.
I didn't realize woodchucks did that. Wow.
Yeah. Especially during the winter, if food is hard to come by, there's a lot of sugar in the bark. And a lot of nutrients there, too.
I'd never see them in the winter, so I assumed that they were just hibernating.
They do hibernate. But, you know, you get a certain kind of winter, they may wake up for a short period of time.
Uh-huh.
Same with the rabbits and of course, the mice. So those young trees that we have just planted in the last two or three years, we may want to consider wrapping the trunks with either tree wrap, trunk wrap. You can buy it at the hardware store, or you can take a piece of cardboard and wrap that trunk and then fasten it with duct tape or electrical tape, whatever you want, so it stays on the trunk. You don't have to put it on tight, just loosely, and that will...
Maybe even like a bungee cord or something.
Yeah, even a small bungee cord. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can wrap it around to keep that
cardboard or
in place.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
that's a good idea.
Now, not only is it going to protect from animals chewing on the bark, but any of those young trees, they haven't developed a thick skin on their trunk yet, the bark yet. So we may be a good idea to protect them against the hard winters. And what happens is we get the sun comes up, everything thaws out a bit. Then night comes, everything freezes. So we get a freeze-thaw. And it can develop a crack in the trunk of a tree.
Mm.
And most of the time, we don't even see that crack till it's caused a lot of damage and fungus has started to grow in there. So that wrap can protect those young trees from that winter freeze-thaw method there. You've probably seen the old apple orchards where they've painted the trunks of all the apple trees white because the white really reflects the sun a lot. So they don't get the freeze-thaw going on.
Wow, that's neat.
Now, most of us homeowners don't want to paint all our trunks white. So the tree wrap can be very important, especially for those young trees. So keep that in mind. And now for...
What about foil?
Foil? Yeah. I've never tried foil. I don't think it would work very well because it would probably just fall apart with the ice and wind. Too thin.
Mm.
So... Another way you can do it, It's a little more work, as you know, you get the drainage tubing, the flexible drainage tubing, that black plastic.
Oh, the corrugated.
Corrugated.
Kind of, yeah.
You can split it down the center so that you can open it up and put over the trunk. That works very well, too. A lot of the big nurseries and so on use that as a trunk wrap. And you can keep that for a lot of years. You know, that cardboard you're going to throw away every year. Tree wrap that you can buy, that's going to last a few years. But that plastic pipe, that'll last for several years. But get the nice, lightweight, flexible type so it's easy to put on the trunk and to take off.
Yeah, that's a good little gardening hack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Master Gardener Bob Harris knows all the hacks and tricks that you need. Hey, if you have a question for Bob, by the way, the phone lines are open. And the number is 814-368-9372. And it doesn't matter what you'd like to talk about. Doesn't match up with what we're kind of talking about at the moment. And we always pause for your questions. That's why we're here.
Yep.
So don't be afraid to give us a call if you have a question about your garden or trees or what have you.
Now, the last one, and this will be with mostly trees, fairly new system is grafting. Grafting, like the weeping cherry. That's grown on a cherry tree trunk, and they graft a shrub on the top. Now, that graft joint for the first 2 or 3 years can be extremely tender. So that's an area, if we don't want to do the whole trunk, at least do the graft point. Try to wrap that with some kind of material to protect it from that freeze-thaw method, or even though that real hard,
the heavy snow and ice?
No, the real dry, cold wind.
Oh, the wind. Yeah. Forgot about the wind. Why does everything want to kill our vegetations?
Well, most of the time it doesn't. But it is worth taking that precaution against it.
Everything's out to get us.
Yeah. So remember those graft joints, and they're easy to see wherever that another type of plant is grafted to a trunk of another type. That there'll be a swollen area, and that is probably the graft joint. And it's plain to see, or go down to the greenhouse and ask them, you know, how do I identify it? And they'll be happy to tell you how to do that.
Okay. We have to take a short break here, Bob.
Okay.
And we'll be just back in 30 seconds. Don't go nowhere. We have plenty more still to come on The Gardening Show right here with Master Gardener Bob Harris on B107.5.
You know it's coming. That colder weather is on the way. Make sure you're ready with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. They're fully stocked with quality Allegheny wood pellets available by the bag or pallet, as well as bagged rice and nut coal. They also have a full line of stovepipe in stock, single wall in black and galvanized, plus B-vent double and triple wall. And now in stock, Empire natural gas heaters. Be prepared for the weather ahead. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5. Phone lines are open, 814-368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. And what else do you have for us today, Bob?
Okay, more protection.
Protection of small trees?
Small shrubs, small trees.
Okay.
Some of us have planted a new plant or a plant that may be a little tender. So we want to protect it from the winter winds. And it's possible that some winter we may get a lot of dry winter winds. Those are the ones that really damage the plant, not those wet, snowy, blizzard-type winds, but that real dry, cold wind. So we may want to consider wrapping that small shrub or small tree, and one of my recommended ways is you wrap it with burlap. That's all it'll take. Still, sunlight can go through, air can circulate, but it does block a lot of that wind from passing through. And as that dry wind goes through, it pulls moisture out of the plant. And if the ground is frozen, it can't replace that moisture. So you can be protecting that tender shrub from that problem by just doing a little burlap wrap. And it's quite easy to do. I like to wrap it all the way around the shrub loosely, and then to connect the two ends together, I just take nails and you kind of just sew it together with a few nails. You don't have to do it all the way up and down, just enough to hold it in place. That's all. So that's protecting your plants through the winter. So now we have to think about that time of year where mice and ants are going to start coming in our house. So we got to protect our house. So it's a good idea to be prepared for that. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. Also, I'll start with ants. A lot of us have used one kind of ant poison for a long period of time. Believe me that ants, like most insects, can become immune to a certain poison over time. So just because you like this one type of product and you've always used it doesn't mean you should continue. I like to mix, and I'll name a couple names. I like to put out some Taro and some Combat, two different types, because they are two different types of poisons, and that will stop those ants from getting immune to a certain type of poison. They can even become so immune to it that it becomes a preferred food for them. So keep that in mind.
Wow, how about that for insult?
Yeah, that would be. So keep that in mind. Now's the time to start preparing for that so we can keep some of those pests out of our house.
Those two brands again?
Combat and Taro.
Now, that's just not a different brand. It's actually a different chemical,
though. Yes, even a different chemical.
That's what you need.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. That's good to know. I never knew that.
Yep, very, very true. So mice, I like my garage is attached to my house, so I put the mouse traps out in the garage. That seems to catch them before they get in the house. Once in a while, one's going to get in the house. So those people that may have pets or young children that are concerned about them getting in to the mouse poison or ant poison or the mouse trap, one way that I like to take care of that is save an old shoebox. And at the ends of that shoebox, cut a small hole, an inch in diameter.
Another one of those Bob Harris hacks. I love it.
And then you can put the lid on, put the mouse trap inside that box, and then the mouse will go inside the box and get caught in the trap. But young children, you can even tape the lid shut if you have to. Young children or pets can't get to that trap or that poison.
Wow, that's a really, because, well, you see those at, like, I've noticed them in stores, you know, like Walmart even has those, you know, if you look closely by the, you know, back doors and stuff, they do have those big metal boxes. Those are mouse traps in there.
That's right.
So, and that's basically the same thing. You're making a free one out of a shoebox.
Yeah,
so
you don't have to spend $50 or $100 right. for one. You can make one out of a shoebox or any small box will do.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I never thought of that.
And it just keeps it kind of protected so the young kids or the animals can't get into it.
And out of sight. Now, poison. What are your views on mouse poison? Because I don't like the idea that they could eat the poison and then go die in my wall.
Yeah, I don't like it either because that has happened.
Yeah.
So I don't use mouse poison. And because there's a bit of clover in my backyard. And clover has vitamin K in it. And vitamin K is the antidote to the poison.
Okay. Wow.
So I've tried that way back. And my wife, being a nurse, used to laugh at me. Says, you know, you do know you have got a lot of clover in the backyard. What does that have to do with my mice, you know? And she said, well, that's the antidote to the poison.
They're going right back outside and be getting healthy again.
Yeah. Yeah. So I quit the poison totally and just go to traps. I know to some people it may be cruel, but I just don't want any mice in my house.
No, I think it's more cruel that they die slowly of poison.
Yeah, true.
Because they get sick for a long time. Yeah.
Or they chew through my wiring system and cause a little problem there too.
Yep.
So protect your house against the mice and the ants by doing certain little things that make it easy to take care of them.
Have you found that mothballs are effective at all?
Yeah, but I don't like the smell of mothballs.
Right.
Mothballs and anything citrusy. It's a well-known fact that if you're getting a lot of ladybugs or stink bugs in your house, they're probably coming through the cracks of, around your door. It's not sealed tightly, or a window. You can spray a little lemon pledge around there. That will deter those insects. They all really dislike that lemony smell.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Lemon pledge.
Yeah. It does no harm to your woodwork or your house. Just spray a little bit of lemon pledge along that the entryway, and that'll keep those bugs out of there.
They and really if you're not careful, it. You're going to accidentally clean some parts of your house.
Yeah. That's true. So that's another little hint. As a matter of fact, I even will take an old lemon that I didn't use, and it's kind of getting bad in the refrigerator, and I toss them under the deck. A lot of animals don't like the smell of citrus, and I really believe that keeps the skunks from making a house under my deck, or that woodchuck, and seems to be successful for about 40 years now.
I'm going to write that down. Skunks.
Skunks, yeah.
Did I tell you how many skunks we caught in our neighborhood?
Yeah. What was the number?
We're up to 17.
17.
Yeah.
Wow. You're in skunk heaven, aren't you?
Well, yeah. We have a lot of sheds that are, you know, nice homes for them, I think.
But yeah, most animals just don't like that smell of citrus. And of course, you know, you see a lot of that citrus in any of the cleaners and so on. So anytime you're cleaning your house with a citrus cleaner, you're probably protecting it against insects and other pests too. You know, of course, there's always that time too where the rules get broken, where you can throw out a whole bushel basket of lemons and still that one skunk is going to ignore it and make a nest under your deck or your porch. But to me, it's so far it has worked well. So that's another little hint. So something else we should be doing out in the garden is possibly collecting some of them perennial seeds or annual seeds that we want to try and grow from seed ourselves. Now's a good time. They should all be mature and ripe to collect. Wait for a nice dry day. If it isn't dry, we'll collect them, lay them out on a sheet of paper towel or newspaper, let them dry. Then we can put them in a Ziploc bag with a paper towel again, just in case there is any moisture left. And, of course, label it. And then we can just put it in the back of the refrigerator and wait till spring, and then we can pull them out and sow our own seeds that way, too. It's kind of a fun thing to do. You can do that with a lot of plants. Even if you got a neat old oak tree, you can collect some of them acorns. Inspect that acorn very closely. If you see a small hole in it anywhere, then it's probably no good. One of the worms has gotten in there and is feeding on that. So inspect them really closely. And then dry them up, put them in that plastic bag. If you don't want to plant them right now, put them in the back of the refrigerator. Come spring, you can plant them, and you'll start your own oak tree or any of those trees that grow from a nut.
Real quick, what's like the general rule of thumb? How long would a seed be viable, or how long would that last?
Oh, boy.
In suspended animation, it's really neat how they just
halt
life, really, and until you're ready for it to
true
blossom.
Now, some seeds are only good for a year or two. Some seeds can be good for 1,000 years.
That's neat.
Yeah. Even longer. They have found lupin seeds frozen in the permafrost up in the Arctic that are claimed to be thousands of years old.
So that's what I'm wondering, if you can bring back any kind of like ancient plants.
They have brought back some ancient plants that were completely extinct.
But the seeds were still good.
Yep, someone found the seeds. And even in the pyramids, they found a seed that was several thousand years old. And some of those germinated. By a nice dry condition, even temperature, or up there in the frozen tundra, they can keep for a very, very long time.
What about grass seed?
Grass seed?
Because I have old bags that I haven't used in like, you know, 6 years. Should I even bother with those?
Well, you can do a little test.
Oh, okay.
Put some potting soil in any kind of container, a pot. Sprinkle some grass seed there. Wet it all down just like you were going to do out in the yard. This only takes a week to test it. Then keep it in a nice cool place. And if it germinates, then it's still good. If it does not germinate, then it's probably no good. Because it can go bad in a hurry. All it takes is one mouse to get in that grass seed bag and urinate.
Oh.
And all the seed is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all it takes. But you can test that grass seed. You don't need to just throw it out. Give it that that test, and you'll see if it's still good. And grass seed can keep for a couple years at least.
Okay.
But after a couple years, I wouldn't even bother testing it.
Okay. All right. So in the garbage it goes.
Yep.
It's been in there for like 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
So it's guaranteed.
I wouldn't bother that.
Yeah,
because
sure
it's probably gone through a lot of humid times and dry times.
I see.
And it's probably developed mold and mildew, and it's probably no good at all.
Okay. I blew it.
And another hint I would say, too, is because I have a feeling, don't put the mowers away yet. I don't think it's time. I think we're still going to be mowing for a while. And it's important that we keep our lawn short going into winter. So, and keeping those leaves chopped up.
I was going to say the leaves aren't done falling yet. So, yeah, I have to keep mine out.
Yeah.
I gotta chop them up.
Yep. Now, if you got a lot of oak trees, you know, they'll never stop falling.
Maples.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Maple. Yeah. It'll stop soon. But keep that mower still ready. Maybe a good idea, though, to still winterize it, you know, give it a good cleaning. And keep it in a nice dry place so that it'll start easily when you're ready to use it. So a hint: don't put the mowers away yet. It's just a little bit too early.
Too early. Okay,
yep.
Got it. Is that a good ending point today?
Well, sure. I think that is.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, because we are all out of time. Thank you so much for coming in. And I don't know if this cold wetness is, I don't know how much we're going to get done outside today, but we'll give it a shot. And great advice today, Bob. Thank you so much. And we're going to put this up on our website again, like we do every episode, on demand at WESB.com. And we will see you again next week right here on The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris on B107.5 FM. Have a great weekend.